Now, beloved, we return to Psalm 91, verse 1 again is our text. We'll look at some other verses in the psalm related to our focus, but we're going to look at the same verse tonight. Again, I encourage us all to commit it to memory. And have in view, especially praying the names of God, can be very effective for us to know his names and pray according to his names. One of the things we think about for prayer is ACTS, an acronym to help us be thinking about adoring God, confessing, thanking him, and then making supplications. And his names really can help us think about how to pray through those things, especially adoration and supplication. So knowing his names will be helpful to us, and we return to thinking about them tonight. Psalm 91, verse 1, hear now his holy word. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Again, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So we return to studying God's names, the Almighty and the Most High, both used in Psalm 91, verse 1. Remember, we have noticed those two names used regularly in the presidential proclamations for Thanksgiving Day for our nation. So as we probably continue studying God's names for the next few weeks through the end of the year, we start here, Almighty God, Most High God, and they're both used here in this one verse. Numbers 24, again, verse 16, when Balaam is looking down over Israel and he wants to curse the people of God, but God will only allow him to speak blessings, he says, I have a word from the Most High God, I have a word from God Almighty. And again, as we study verse 1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. It teaches us that the person who takes refuge under God's enormous care receives his powerful protection. And so we think a lot about his power tonight and how he protects and provides for us by his power. This morning we looked at him as Most High, Elyon in the Hebrew. Tonight we embrace his strength as Almighty, Shaddai. When you lift up your thoughts to the Most High God, his strong arms will surround you. I think that's kind of where the verse is taking us. So, beloved, may you feel the strength of this name tonight, Shaddai. May you face everything that makes you shake and sweat as you study Shaddai. And as you shake and sweat, and as you struggle with fear, find peace in God's power. Indeed, you are weak. God says to Paul, and he says to you, in your weakness I will show my strength. So, indeed, come in your weakness to God and find peace in God's power. That's the message for you this evening. Find peace in God's power. Often the scriptures will talk about how God saved his people out of Egypt by way of metaphor, by way of anthropomorphism. Meaning speaking about God as if he has human body parts. Can you think of how he speaks about how he delivered his people out of Egypt? By a strong hand and an outstretched arm, right? As if to say, I took you and I grabbed you and I plucked you out of the hands of Pharaoh who thought he was God and I saved you. But there's this sense of him expressing his strength by his strong hand and his mighty arm. He can't be beat. You could maybe think about it without trying to sound too silly. He had an arm wrestling match with Pharaoh and Pharaoh lost because God's hand and arm is so strong. Nothing can stop his hand. Nothing can stop his strong arm. He communicates that way to express how he saved and delivered you. And that's how the psalm will help us think about that tonight when we talk about him as Almighty God. You know, you and I tend to think of God as weak. again, and we tend to think of Jesus as weak. Sometimes I think the drawings of him, which are forbidden by the first few commandments, make us think that way. He is strong. Jesus is strong. He's a mighty king. He's a risen savior. Remember how we see him in Revelation. God here is flexing his muscles, reminding us he's the Almighty with his strong hand and outstretched arm. It's as if he's flexing his muscles to just give us a sense of his strength to impress you. To impress you as his sons and daughters, that you're safe with him in his arms. As you look up to him as the Most High God, you are safe under his shadow as the Almighty. It's kind of like sometimes I do with my sons. My daughters, not really so much, but sons like to wrestle. One of my sons is getting a little bigger and kind of strong, and he likes to show me how strong he is. And if I'm not careful, I'm knocked over these days. But I like to remind him how strong I am, at least still, relatively speaking. And so I'll let him push me a little bit, and then I'll remind him how strong I am. And I'll kind of use my muscles, and I'll put him down pretty quick, remind him. And actually, he likes that. They like that. Sons are really kind of pushing at us. They want to see how strong Dad is. They want to feel his strength. It makes them secure. So the same sons will come to sit on my lap without asking and come to hold me and hug me, and they'll feel happy to have me take them in my arms because they know I'm strong, relatively speaking, and I will protect and I will provide for them. And God is kind of wanting to remind you how strong he is. He is the Almighty. And as you come to him as his sons and daughters, he is completely capable of taking care of you. He has all power to take care of you. And as you just read in 1 John 3, behold what love the Father has for us, that we should be called the sons of God. He is Shaddai, or again, the Almighty. That is, he is the all-powerful God. He is, when we use the more technical theological term, he is omnipotent, all-powerful. That means there's absolutely no weakness whatsoever in him. Beloved, just try to take that in a little bit more tonight. Because we are so weak, and we tend to think about God as we think about ourselves. We tend not to draw on God's strength because we don't remember how powerful he is and how strong he is. We fail him so often because we don't go to him for his strength. We forget how strong he is, our Father. He is Shaddai. He has no weakness. He is only strong. So as you look up to God as the Most High, he is able to lift you up to himself as the Almighty and hold you and keep you there. You're not going to fall. His grip is strong. Now, this is interesting. When you start to study Shaddai, Almighty, and where it comes up in Scripture, Shaddai comes up so many times in a certain book of the Old Testament. I wonder if you might guess what it is. The book of Job. So very often, Job and his friends are using God's name Shaddai, the Almighty. Now think about that. God has power over problems and pain when we are at our weakness. When we are at our weakest, excuse me. God yet has power over those problems and those painful situations and can strengthen us. Psalm 91 verse 1 speaks of God's power. And the whole psalm speaks of his power to deliver you from being hunted and infected. I group it through a few verses together. He can deliver us. He has the power to deliver us from being hunted and infected by this world. Look at verse 3. Surely God shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Verse 6. Thou shalt not be afraid, verse 5, nor be afraid for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Verse 14, the first part. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Again, God has the power to deliver you from being hunted and infected by this world. Verse 15 as well. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. And sometimes we might wonder, like the man who spoke to Jesus, if you are willing to heal. But sometimes Jesus will ask us, do you believe that I can, that I'm able? We need to call upon God, trusting his ability to help us, his power to help us. God has the power to protect you like a mother hen and a soldier's shield. Verse 4, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. He has the power to protect you. God has the power to save you from his own wrath and from hell fire judgment, verses 8 and 9. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Look at verse 16. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. God has the power to save. Jesus came to save his people from their sins, and his blood saves them. He has all power to save, and he most certainly does save. And if he saved you from sin and the effects of sin and God's wrath, how much more has he saved you unto life? He has the power to help you walk in newness of life, the power of the resurrection. He can do amazing things in your life, like make you content. He has the power to conquer satanic influence in your life. Verse 13. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and otter. And children, that word otter, it's a snake, poisonous snake. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and otter. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. I remember it is the serpent in the garden, and it's this serpent that we see in Revelation that's continuing to try to poison you and take you out. But God has the power to save you from the influence of Satan. How much do you need to be reminded of that? God has the power to save you from the influence of Satan, who is always speaking to you. And remember, we've seen in the larger catechism by the first commandment, we are forbidden to make a compact with him, and we are forbidden to listen to him. And we are forbidden to resist the Holy Spirit and grieve the Holy Spirit. But as well, the Holy Spirit has the power to help us resist Satan. And as James says, resist Satan, and he will flee from you. With Jesus as your example, quoting the word of God, he resisted Satan and Satan fled from him. Exodus 6, verse 3, we see the name El Shaddai. God told Moses that he appeared to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob by the name of El Shaddai. Now, then he reveals himself as Yahweh to Moses in a special way. But El Shaddai, he has been revealing himself to all the covenant people as El Shaddai, the Almighty. The first time, remember, that we see El Shaddai revealed as a name of God is Genesis 17, verse 1. Related to circumcision, he shows Father Abraham that he is El Shaddai. He has the power to help Abraham do what he says he's going to do. And then he continues when he talks to Isaac and Jacob. He regularly says, I am El Shaddai. I have the power to keep my promise to you patriarchs. Now, what is he reminding each of them, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Why do you think he might say, I am the Almighty God? He says, I have the power to keep my promise to you. I can keep my promise to you. What is the promise to the patriarchs? To make them procreate. To make their children like the stars of heaven, like the sands of the sea, beyond number they could not count, which is pretty significant, remember, when you start with Abraham and Sarah. They waited 25 years for Isaac. And as Paul says, they were as good as dead in their advanced age. But God shows that nothing is impossible with him. He has the power to do it, and he has the power. He has the power to put Jesus Christ into the belly, into the womb of Mary without an earthly father. It's no problem. He's God. He has the power and the spirit to do this. And remember, thinking of his names again, Gabriel announces this and he says, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of who? God Most High. This same God who has the power to do this and says to Mary, nothing is impossible with God. Beloved, you can often be afraid of broken promises simply because the potential inability that people have to follow through. You know, don't you find yourself struggling to trust, struggling to hold on to promises, not even so much sometimes because people break promises because they don't mean them, but sometimes they fully intend to fulfill the promise, but they end up lacking the ability to keep the promise in the end. And so you can go through life fearful. You don't know for sure if they're going to be able to pull that off. But you never need worry about God's ability to keep his promises to you, namely that he will raise you from the dead. He rose Jesus from the dead. Jesus rose himself from the dead by his own power, and he has the power to raise you from the dead, and so he will fulfill that promise. But in the meantime, are you worried about how you are going to be able to handle your life in all your weakness? Are you worried about whether God will grow your family, whether he will grow this church? Do you think that he can't? Do you think he is not capable? Remember that he is more than able to do all things. He is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Philippians 3, verse 21. He is able even to subdue all things unto himself, including people in Paradise Hills in San Diego, and including you. Jesus is able to succor you that are tempted. Hebrews 2, verse 18. Do you have that fear that you're just never going to be able to change, never able to break those bad habits, those sinful things that chain you down? Jesus is able to succor you who are tempted. He can change your life. He can give you victory. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Jesus is able also to save you to the uttermost that come unto God by him. You don't lose your salvation. Why? Because of you? No, because of him. He is able to save you to the uttermost. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. I don't know if I can do it. I'm such a sinner. Yes, you can, because God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have sufficiency in all things to abound in every good work. You and I tend to focus on our weaknesses instead of God's power to work within us. When you feel like you can't, when you find yourself saying, I can't do it anymore, I can't try anymore, I don't have the ability, I don't have the power. First of all, you're right. You don't. In yourself. But in Christ, you have sufficiency to do things. You say to yourself, Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through him that strengtheneth me. Beloved, do not forget this. Do not forget this. God is almighty. Do not forget that the third person of the Trinity, the third person of God Almighty, dwells in you. Thus, I pray for you and for myself that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know that what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above, El Elyon, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. We're studying the names of God. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Ephesians 1, 18 to 22. You don't need to be deceived by the idea that you can strengthen yourself by self-esteem. The way that you are strengthened is how God esteems Christ and Christ in you. The way that you are empowered to live out this life with victory over sin is the strength of Jesus Christ within you. The reason you and I fail so much is we believe the lies to turn to ourselves and try to pump ourselves up with ourselves. What a joke! That's like trying to inflate some silly thing with our, you know, with our breath instead of using a pump, the pump of God's Holy Spirit blowing within you. Let me review some highlights. Ephesians 1, 18 to 22. There is an exceeding greatness of God's power toward you, according to the working of his mighty power. Before every name that is named, he hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to you, the church. He is almighty. He is all powerful. He is omnipotent, and he dwells in you by the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that put the Christ child in the womb of Mary, God has in you to comfort you, to strengthen you, to empower you to do all things. So it's significant, I think, that in the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, the book that Jesus wrote to the churches to make it through the last days that we're now in, as we face persecution, as we face the aggression of this world and are tempted to give up and to give in to the world and to join Babylon the whore, he would empower and strengthen us, regularly speaking of himself as the Almighty, revealing the mystery to us of we can make it, we can overcome. To them who overcome, he will give gifts. A regular name is given by himself of himself, Almighty. Almighty. We cannot continue in our own strength, but we can continue and we can overcome through the power of the Almighty God. We need to look up to him as El Elyon. Take refuge in the cleft of the rock high over the world, and there find him in embracing us and strengthening us with his power and not our own. Here are a few times, eight times, the Almighty is referred to in the Revelation. Here are a few of those references. Revelation 1, verse 8. Jesus, showing himself in amazing imagery to be Almighty, refers to himself like this. And remember, it's a revelation of Christ from Christ to serve Christ, even if he should call you to martyrdom. He says of himself in Revelation 1, verse 8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and was and which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus is himself the Almighty. Indeed, what a mighty God we serve. And we can serve him as conquerors, more than conquerors, with victory because of him in us. Revelation 15, verse 3, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Revelation 19, verses 15 to 16. Jesus coming, conquering and to conquer on his white horse with a sword on his side and a name on his thigh, faithful and true. It says of him there, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he closes the Revelation, chapter 21, verse 22. And again, these are not all the references to the Almighty, but this is the last one. John says, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Beloved, you need look no further than Jesus Christ for a powerful peace that is not of this fragile, failing, fractured, disintegrating, puny, evil, wicked, weak world. Face your fears. Strengthen your feeble knees. Gird up your loins. Pray to El Shaddai and be confident in the Almighty and find peace in God's power. Let us pray. O Lord God, we are weak, but you are strong. And the Spirit of Christ dwelleth in us. And you are the Almighty. We can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. Feed us, lift us up with your power. Touch us with your senses tonight in the supper. And remind us that we serve the living God. Lift up our thoughts higher to you, Most High God. And show us and remind us there in new ways that you are God Almighty. And nothing is impossible for you. Forgive us, Lord, when we say things are impossible. Things that you command of us, we say, is impossible. but we have the Spirit of Christ and we have the mind of Christ, and you are the Almighty God. Lord, we beg of you that you would help us to look up and see your strength and feel and sense your strong presence in us, within us, around us. Indeed, as the psalm speaks about the angels ministering to us, give us the eyes of faith to see that there are more of them than there are of this world. Let us recognize how weak the world is because it is so incapable of change. It is so incapable of seeing the King Jesus. It is so incapable of being free of temptation and despair, depression, danger, self-destruction. Whereas in you is strength, power, in the name of Jesus. Ability to change, to be transformed, metamorphosized more into the image as you renew our minds. Lord, help us to strengthen our spiritual muscles as we look at your strong hand and outstretched arm, delivering us from this world and into the promised land. Help us to find peace in the power of the Prince of Peace. Empower us, Almighty God, with your word. Enlighten and empower us, Holy Spirit. Help us to believe. Help us to change. Help us to learn and grow in new holy habits. Help us to exercise ourselves in godliness by the working of the Holy Spirit within us. Help us to bear more of your fruit and to like how it tastes, to taste and see that you are good and your power is glorious. Oh, to be free of the power of sin and death. Oh, to be free of the influence of the principalities of this world as we trust and believe more in the Prince of Peace. Even now, Lord, help us to fight against Satan trying to say to us, did God really say he would suck the wind out of us? He would suck your strength from our marrow. He would have us be rattling bones in the wind and sand. But you, Holy Spirit, we pray, speak to these dry bones. Rise us up and add new spiritual muscle and ligaments and make us a mighty army of the Lord of hosts. Help us to follow King Jesus and advance in his power, trusting indeed because of his power, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us. Forgive us for seeing ourselves outside of your power. Forgive us for so often seeing you who are in us of such little ability. Fill us up more, Holy Spirit, with yourself, O Almighty God. Help us to do powerful things in this world for you. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would blow through not only our lives, but in this place and in this city, and bring what only you can bring, but you most certainly can bring, and we've seen it in Scripture, we've seen it in church history, and help us to believe you can do, and we see this again, that you would blow through and bring revival, that you would bring reformation, that you would bring salvation to families in this place, and add to the church such as should be saved, sanctified, strengthened to serve you in the power of Christ, helping us to step on Satan's head and with you and as you have to crush him there. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, and we close praying as you taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Beloved, before the Lord blesses us with the benediction, we will sing to him once more about the power and the work that he can do in our lives. Please turn with me in your Psalter to Psalm 125 on page 291. Notice what God can do in those who turn to him. Please stand.
Da 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 da. They in the Lord that firmly trust shall be like Zion Hill, which at no time can be removed, but standeth ever still. As round about Jerusalem the mountains stand always, the Lord his folk doth compass so from henceforth and for ill men's rod upon the lot of just men shall not lie, lest righteous men stretch forth their hands unto iniquity. Do thou to all those that be good thy goodness, Lord, impart, and do thou good to those that are upright within their heart. But as for such as turn aside after their crooked way, God shall lead forth with wicked men. On Israel peace shall stay.
Now, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen.